relatively short agenda. First thing about the CFAS meeting in June, I thought, hello?
Hey, this is Charlie.
Hey, Charlie. Just talking about it.
Well, I'm here now.
All bad.
I thought the meeting in June went very well, and I think the three-day approach worked pretty good. If anyone has any comments about the format of the meeting, the idea of inviting outside individuals to come and talk, I would appreciate it. But I think on the whole, it went very well. And for those of you who stayed for the past project meeting, I think that went well. They seem to have some interest in continuing to collaborate. Hannah Kinney asked if it would be possible for her to come to some of our other meetings. And I said, of course. So I was pretty pleased with the outcome of that meeting. I think we were fairly well represented both in the clinic projects and the basic science projects at the ISBRA RSA meeting. There was some interest in furthering collaborations with scientists from Asia that occurred at a fall dinner the day before the RSA happened, and some of the Korean scientists have been in contact with me about some possibilities that might exist there. As you know, we solicited ideas for the January 2009 meeting, and Kathy Sulik has kindly offered to host that in Chapel Hill, and I think that's what we're going to go with, and I think Jill and Kathy have been in touch about possible dates. So Jill will be sending out an email to you today trying to get dates in January when you might be available. And we were thinking again of the same two-day or three-day type of format where it would be one day the clinical group, one day the joint group, and then the basic science group. Probably start late in the morning on the first day. For one of those, have the joint meeting the second day, and then have the other group, either the basic science or the clinical group, on the third day and get out of there by around 2 o'clock. So, Jill, you're going to be sending that out later today?
Yes, Kathy and I are talking about it.
Okay.
In fact, I contacted the Carolina Inn, which I think would be about the nicest place to have the meeting, today, and they said January is a good month. There are a few dates that would not work, and those are from the 21st through the 24th. They don't work for the Carolina Inn.
Okay, I'll note those. Thank you, Kathy.
And Kathy, I'd also like to ask you if you would mind arranging some of the outside speakers to come in, since you have lots of resources down in North Carolina.
Okay.
Speakers and help with the planning the agenda for both the clinical as well as the basic science.
Okay. And do you have any idea how many outside speakers you'd like?
Well, what did you think the last time? Well, we had two for the basic science, one for that joint meeting. Was that a reasonable number and still let us get our business done?
Two basic and one...
Well, yeah, I think we had Alex Medina and Bill, and then Barbara Finley.
Okay.
Did anyone think that was a problem, or that we should have fewer, more time for discussion with them, or?
I thought it worked out really well, Ed, and we should make an effort to have people both who can educate us about questions that we're grappling with, who we don't necessarily want to invite to be part of the consortium, but also people who whose projects and ideas we want to audition for the consortium as possible developmental projects.
So maybe if people could think about these auditions, or information they'd like to get a little education on, to myself, Jill, and include Kathy, and that way Kathy will get an idea of the topics and possible individuals, and to see who she has available locally that might be able to help out, or, you know, not coming from too far a distance. So, because the sooner we arrange that, the less of an expense it becomes.
I just sent you my suggestion.
Okay, I can't wait. I think you've told me you're at the ready, though.
Yeah, I'm just making sure that you know.
Probably some fish person.
No, it's not a fish person, surprisingly enough, although I have suggestions for those, too, if you like. But
are there people at Duke who are doing fish now, Lori, do you know?
Pardon?
Are there people at Duke who are doing fish now?
You know? I think he's at Duke. This, maybe Susan can remember his name, the Chinese guy?
Lee. L-I, Lee.
Cool.
He's working. He has a...
he's an R21.
An R21, yeah.
Yeah. He does the cholesterol work.
Yep.
Yes.
He's
yeah.
Okay. Hedgehog guy.
He's biomarker. He has a biomarker project, too, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So that would maybe be a good possibility.
And he's collaborating with Anime Deal.
Right. Uh-huh. So we would... We would have Duke to draw from and Wake Forest, and here would be, you know, all really close.
And then, I mean, you had suggested some imager in the past. I mean, they can come from other places.
Right.
It's if we can utilize local resources, that helps, but it's not a necessity.
Right. I'll try to get in touch with him. But we need to pick our dates first, right?
Right. And Jill will be sending that out today. Now, Jill's leaving to go on vacation tomorrow, so it might be helpful if you emailed her and me as well.
Okay. We'll be in touch today.
All righty. Many of you are going to be receiving your Notice of Grant Awards pretty soon, and if you could forward those to Jill, that would be useful as well, those PDFs that you can download. And that way we'll have a record of your grant being funded and what needs to be done on that. Tina Chambers was asked by the editor of Birth Defects Research Part A to coordinate and edit a special issue of that journal for early 2009. And I think she's been in touch with either all of you or some of you about this, asking if you would be interested in contributing. And she has now passed along possible titles and suggestions to the editor and is awaiting their response about when they'd be interested in publishing and how many of them. They originally requested 6 to 8, and I think she sent in 10 or 11. So that's just an update on that. Then,
Ed?
Yeah.
Could I just interrupt? I've talked with Tina about this as well. Interestingly enough, I've begun a special issue, organizing a special issue for alcohol as well. And Tina's going to contribute to it as well. And if anyone else on this call has anything related to interventions, which is going to be the focus of that issue, or new diagnostic approaches, they're welcome to consider that as well. I've made contact with several people already, and if anyone else is interested in contributing, we'll be in contact with you as well.
I don't know what it means, but in the last 2 months, I've been asked to contribute to, I don't know, at least 5 different either books or special editions on fetal alcohol. They're just coming at you left and right these days for these special issues and papers and book chapters. And I got a call yesterday about the first ebook being prepared for fetal alcohol syndrome.
Oh boy.
So, I mean, I can only say the same thing so many different ways. Really running out of stuff. Jan Lucky, I don't believe anyone on the Basic Science Group participated in their first international conference on FASD that they held in Victoria, British Columbia 2 years ago. But Ken Jones, Tina, Bill May, and myself participated in this first international conference that they had in Canada. They recently had their second one, and Jan Lucky, who coordinates this, has contacted me about their third international conference on FASD, and they'd like CFAS to participate in a half-day program sometime between March 10th and March 15th, 2009. It's primarily a clinical conference, so I told her I contacted the clinical group. They said that we've certainly got enough interest to put together a half-day meeting. They were particularly interested in the possibility of the Informatics Corps participating, and Bill Barnett and I have spoke about that. But if anyone has a burning desire to go to Victoria, let me know. The title of the conference is going to be an international conference on FASD, integrating research, policy, and promising practices from around the world. Catalyst for change. The meeting is typically very well attended, and it's attended by people from all over the world. It's not simply a regional or a local meeting, but they had people from Asia, Australia, Europe last time, and they put on a very large, good conference. So if anyone is interested, let me know. Excuse me. I've also been asked to participate in a joint meeting of NIAAA and INSERM. INSERM is the French equivalent to the NIH. That meeting is going to be held in October, but we have to start preparing slides and abstracts so that they can be distributed. So if anyone has any really great data and particular interest in collaborating with someone in France, and there are several programs that NIAAA is establishing with the French government in swapping postdocs and things like that, please send me any PowerPoint slides that you might have that would show the advancements that you have made in the field and which people might be interested in. I am not so much interested in what you plan to do or... but rather what you have found that advanced the field. I want to kind of keep very progress-oriented in my talk. And I don't have that much time, but if anyone does have some information they would like me to share at that meeting, please send it on to me. Just some other updates that I think we need. I think the dysmorphology update now has a usable version so that if people are interested in that, that is now presumably available. Andy, do you have any other information on that?
It's there.
Okay. So,
if anybody has any questions about how to get to it, please let me know. Let us know.
Okay. So I think, you know, the Tim, if you want to start, you know, trying to see what they're finding on the face for your sheep stuff, right there. So.
Okay, very good.
All right. Charlie, any update on tissue banking?
Yeah, I just want to quickly summarize what I think we've come to the conclusions on the and some of the discussions during and after the meeting. And then... probably want to, I'll have to get together with Tatiana, but I think we want to go ahead and formalize the proposed structure for the tissue bank approach. I think what came out of the meeting, we came to understand a little bit better what was currently being collected, namely that maternal blood is being banked at two time points in the Russia-Ukraine project, but that the samples from Russia are only going to stay in Russia. Samples from Ukraine are being shipped to Davis, but and perhaps that's to do the micronutrient oxidative stress analyses. And with if permission can be gained, there may be available samples from that cohort, but it would require a negotiation, and it's not clear exactly how fast that can move forward. There are blood spots being collected from the infants in addition to the maternal blood, but Tatiana is not as thrilled about using the blood spots for DNA analyses, even if it were possible, even if it could be done. There was, I think Tatiana's had several discussions with Holm about the buccal swab and, approach to getting DNA. And I know that they have a functional system in place, and they're going to work together on that. I haven't talked to Tatiana about that since the meeting, so I don't know where she stands on that. I think the most important thing, two important things that came out. One is that we probably could go ahead with considering analyses of hair if it's properly collected. And meconium, which is possible in the Ukraine, if the appropriate protections are in place. And then there was substantial discussion after Cynthia's presentation about the biomarker approach and whether it can be incorporated into the CFAS effort. I think the biggest issue there are what would be measured and who would do the measurement. There was a discussion as to whether it might be appropriate to have a centralized facility that would have the mass spec GC combinations there that could analyze materials for FAEE, for fatty acid ethyl esters, although the cost of that obviously doesn't fit within the current budget. In discussions with Ken Warren, sort of outside of the meeting, I think what we talked about were two possibilities. One is pursuing analysis by corporations that do this on a contract basis, and he was going to look at the cost of that, but it sounded like it would be far cheaper that way if the numbers that he anticipated were right, and that's one way to go for a biomarker approach to be incorporated into the CFAS. The other is to consider writing some sort of proposal like an R24 for a centralized facility. That's another alternative that we might consider, and that would allow us to set up a specific facility under the direction of someone that would be appropriate to do the analyses for the biomarkers, particularly for FAEE. Cynthia pointed out the importance of looking at other biomarkers, including ethyl glucuronide, as a possible marker that may be useful for identifying exposure in the recent few days from maternal blood. Probably not useful for newborns, but it could also be assessed in maternal hair. And that could give some better time point analysis or some time horizon analyses that might be useful. So those two seem to be, the FAE and ethyl glucuronide seem to be the most likely.
Tina was supposed to talk to Frederick Wurst at the RSA ISPR meeting, but he was a no-show. He had registered, but he didn't show.
And I haven't talked to them since then, so.
I don't know whether she's followed up on that or not. I know that Tatiana is putting in or has put in an administrative supplement to collect the data, but I don't know what plans were in that for
banking.
I will be meeting with Tatiana tomorrow, so I can pursue that a little bit more for the final report. What we've, I think, determined is that we need to have an oversight administrative committee, and it's been suggested that there be probably three or four members with Tatiana as the two co-directors, with Tatiana for the human studies and Tim Cudd for the overseeing the animal model analyses, collection and analyses, and those are, I think, appropriately chosen. And probably we should get that in place now and move forward with putting this into effect. The final report will be sent to Ed, and you can distribute it to everybody within the next week or so after I meet with Tatiana.
All right, sounds like a plan. I'm going to take a few days off next week, so I'll get it right away. You'll know why. Tim Cudd, on the sheep, the only thing I'm waiting for is we need a plan, a scope of work.
Okay.
We haven't received that yet, and once we do, then I can release those funds that you requested.
Okay.
All right, so I think Andrea Bauer has emailed about what she needs before she can set up the subcontract, and I think what she decided to do was that since it probably would go into the new year is to simply wait until the new year started and then use the funds as carryover funds to get them to you.
Okay. Yeah, that's in front of me. I'll get it to you in a few days.
All righty. And any update on the project?
Charlie and Elizabeth Moore traveled to College Station recently, and we have solidified our approach to making the facial dysmorphology measurements, and we've completed a manual with color pictures. We could even provide that to the consortium if you'd like. But it identifies, you know, just exactly how we will make our measurements in the sheep, and identify, with study of that, you can see that there will be some slight differences in the way some of the measurements are completed comparing between species because of just the anatomy. And if we didn't do it slightly differently, we wouldn't be able to create reproducible measurements. But that's available for scrutiny if anyone's interested in it.
I think we ought to probably put that on the CFAS site for the members, if we could.
Okay, we can do that.
Just probably send it to Brad designates.
Yes, that'll. It won't. I'll have. It'll be about a week and a half. The person who has been, Tim Johnson's been working on that, and he's in New Mexico climbing mountains at the moment. But when he gets back, we'll get it to you.
Kathy and Fung, do you have any updates on your mouse strain comparisons?
We have the animals here. We've finally gotten into new rooms. The mice are situated. We're breeding them. We should have results, as I've been telling you this for the last few months, but we should have results within the month. They just keep messing around with our mouse colony room. So, anyway, I wish I had more to report on the strain comparisons. Zoe has just sent us mice from the chronic exposure study, the first group that we'll do the MRIs on, and they have arrived safe and soundly, and we're selecting them today and sending them over to Duke to get scanned.
All right. So, I think we not... further, any more for nutritional study. I think the data we have is this date in June. The MicroCT will continue to move on. What we'd like to see if this would be able to compare with the from the bone to the face. I have seen meeting with the human facial group this morning that the Charlie and Tim's sheep measurement. Pictures. I think that's great. What we will also do is the trying to put the specific area of the measurement in real pictures of mouse, sheep, and humans. For example, this morning, they beginning to identify mouse regions for human automatic by automations. So that will be probably applied to the sheep, and then we can probably identify for the mouse, for example, it's a mouse regions for the lips and mouse regions. So for region by region, we probably can post on and comparatively of three species for comparisons. And I think that would be a very interesting way to move on for this study.
That would be great, and I think it would also be timely in that Ken and Elizabeth are working on a paper comparing the dysmorphologist's viewpoint from the 3D camera and whether that could be used like for telemedicine. And there's a discrepancy between two different morphologists looking at the same pictures in kids that they have seen, so that Ken Jones tends to be more conservative in the pictures than he is in person. Luther Robinson tends to be more liberal. So Ken's real good in making sure that no one gets a diagnosis who doesn't deserve one, and Luther's putting more of the deferred kids into the FAS category on the pictures than he does in person. So there's a little discrepancy, but I'm getting more encouraged about the possibility of this being a useful tool. So I think if you have new features to use, that would be great. All right, any other new business? Anyone have any interesting things they'd like to tell us about? Michael, or anything new and exciting in Boston?
Nothing dramatic. We're just making mutations. It's sort of long and boring until you do the experiments.
Okay. Jennifer? She's not on. Kathy, anything else?
No, I don't think so. I think once we start to know what dates people want to have the meetings and we get sent suggestions for speakers, then I guess I'll have more to talk about.
Okay. Charlie?
Well, I'll add something. I don't know if Tim wants to follow up with this, but one of the things we did while I was down there, and I just haven't had time to follow up since then, but we did meet with his electrical engineer there at Texas A&M that runs their imaging center, and I think we have real promise for high quality postmortem and MRI analyses that will give us very good resolution on the sheep brains. We're going to put together a working group, hopefully with folks here at Indiana. Andy Sakin, who's the director of the Neuroimaging Center here, working with Dr. Wright down there to try to develop that for the postmortem imaging in the sheep. And then there is still the possibility of us developing an in vivo structural imaging that will be of sufficient quality, but that may take a little bit longer to put into place. Tim, did you want to add anything to that?
No, I think that characterizes it.
All right. Anything from the Science Advisory Board? Dan? Lori?
Can we go back to Charlie's report on the tissue bank? Charlie, are they collecting urine at any of the sites? Do you recall? I don't remember the details from the report.
Look at my notes. I have a note in there on that. I don't think it's being collected, but the possibility exists for it to be collected.
Relative to ethyl glucuronide, although the signal isn't as high in urine, apparently it is longer lasting, and it might be an optional way to look at ETG. There's also, in addition to the GC mass spec approach now, there are immunoassays that have been developed, and they're not commercially available, but they apparently have research kits that might be one way to try to go in and do analyses of ETG that might be simpler or more doable and greater number of places than are currently available with the GC mass spec approach.
Is that for ethyl glucuronide only, or
Well, that's what I've been checking into. So I haven't looked at ETS or, but I think there's more information on ETG right now about alternative ways to do it that might make it, you know, a useful biomarker to examine at these sites.
Yeah, I think that the prevailing sentiment from various people, both public and private, I think was, if we're going to do this, we should just go ahead and do it and not worry about what, you know, what is the best and most perfect way to do it, but to get something established and move forward.
Mm-hmm. Charlie, I haven't looked at the bank statement. That's the uterus and cord blood being included?
There is cord blood being collected, I believe, in the Ukraine from humans. But that's the only place. I'd have to double check here my notes. And the part of the problem is the tissue collection process was set up for specific kinds of analyses, none of which are what we're talking about. And so the tissue may be available and may be stored, but we can they'll have to get appropriate agreements in place to do the additional analyses. The hardest would be the genome-wide analyses in which the protections would have to be in place, and that may be more difficult in the initial stage. But they're basically there to assess micronutrient and oxidative stress markers, and expanding beyond that will require some additional agreements.
All right. Lori, do you have any comments?
Not today.
All righty. So NIAAA, Susan, we're all right?
Yep.
All right. I think it's interesting that Jim West reported that he couldn't make it today because he's on vacation. How many people who retire are on vacation? You know?
Retirement's hard work.
I just found my notes on the question that you just asked. The cord blood is actually being collected in the PASS project, not in the Ukraine. And there is meconium that has been collected and is available from the PASS project as well. But those are not part of this committee's initial concerns because they're part of the PASS project.
Yeah, and we know about that. Getting access to those requires a protocol that has to be submitted and approved.
Right.
So I think we want to be further along before we approach them about what we want to do.
And that's my understanding from Ken as well.
Yeah. Andy, any other comments on the data?
I'm not sure what you're looking for.
I'm not. I just don't want to exclude you if you want to participate.
Okay. No, I don't have any more comments.
I'm just going down the list and seeing. All righty, then. Any other business anyone needs to discuss or wants to bring up? And if not, we'll just look forward to your ideas for the meeting suggestions, and I'll talk to you next month.
And Jill, is Jill going to get back to us before she leaves about possible dates, or is that going to be later?
Yeah, if everyone can send me the dates they're not available in January, that makes it easier to pull what is available.
Okay.
So I think in general, the first week of January is not considered, right?
Right.
You're talking about the first full week in January. So possibly the week of January 12th, which is close to when we did it last year, I think.
Yeah,
sure.
There are possibilities, and there's a major developmental meeting that I have to check on a date. Because there's going to be an FAS symposium at that meeting. This is the Bill Pfeiffer one. And I'm not sure when those dates are yet, but I have a request out to find out. So that's where we are. So have a great rest of the summer, and enjoy yourselves, and I'll talk to you next month.
Great. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.